interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, June 6th. Look out, y'all. 6-6 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 1037 The Game. Ben Love here at the Tap Room, and one heck of a crowd early, right after 4 o'clock. This will be a great place for you to come and unwind, start your weekend early if you get a chance. I'm lucky enough to be here until 7. Joining me from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, my good friend, the famous Clint D. I'm going to jump in, both feet, into the NBA Finals. Then we'll go more locally, LSU football. The revolving door, one in, one potentially out, and we'll end this opening segment with news on the Mondo Duplantis front. And I don't mind telling you, I didn't wake up this morning expecting there could be news on that front. Again, I'll get to all that in our opening segment. Would love for you to join in. 706-0111. And I think the most compelling thing that could have happened to the NBA Finals transpired last night. By the Bay. Toronto won. It's a 2-1 Raptors lead. And from here, I feel like it evens out the long-term odds of who wins this series. Because it can't get any worse from a health perspective for Golden State. Short of Steph Curry getting injured, right? You don't want to take a potential 47-point performer off of the floor. And what he did last night was incredible. It reminded me a lot of some of those old-school post-Shaq Kobe performances. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Think of that stretch of time between when Shaq had Kobe, or I should say Kobe had Shaq, and then he had Gasol and Lamar Odom and that bunch that won championships with Phil Jackson. There was a stretch, and I'm thinking really 05, 06, 07, where the Mamba had to rule the roost for that crappy team in L.A., and that's kind of what it felt like for the Warriors last night. And it never appeared they were going to have enough offensive firepower. So kudos go to Nick Nurse, to Kawhi Leonard, and to the Raptors, who came out and realized from jump, we need to play helter-skelter. We need to go up and down, and we need to shoot the living daylights out of the three ball. They did it, and they did it effectively. And so it's so contrary to popular belief, you can't play fast with Golden State. They score at too rapid a pace. They make too many threes. You don't want to trade twos for threes with them. Slow the pace. Get it rough and rugged. Kind of like the Rockets have tried for years with Steve Kerr's Warriors teams. Without Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Kevin Looney, they did it differently last night. Toronto did, and it was the right move. And so suddenly, these NBA Finals, they're back on. I refuse to ever believe that we know what's coming in a series after Game 1. So I didn't overreact to that. I'm also not going to overreact to Game 3 and tell you, hey, this is the Raptors' thing to lose. Not really. They broke the home court streak at this point. But as I said, the Warriors are only going to get healthier. Yes, Kevin Durant has been ruled out of Game 4. I think it's going to take a militia to keep Klay Thompson from playing in that game. And also reports today that Kevin Looney might not be done for the series just yet. So that won't impact the next game, but it could just give some much needed rebounding, toughness, and depth as they head into maybe games 5-6 and the increasingly likely event of a game 7. And so that would be good news for everybody that wants just a little bit more basketball. All right, we're going split screen. Let's move it on to LSU. The revolving door coming in, a commitment, 2020 four-star defensive back, Major Burns. And that is a top five all-name teamer. I'm talking all freaking time. He is prepping at Madison Prep in Baton Rouge. 6'2", 176, and really no preference, really no standout position, either safety or corner. I understand the young man can play a good bit of subset packages, nickelback as well. So LSU landed a very versatile DB today, and Corey Raymond gets a lot of the credit. He was the lead recruiter there, formed a great relationship by all accounts. You want to know who was in on Major Burns? How's this for a who's who list? Auburn, Florida, Oklahoma, Miami, and Texas A&M. So this is a great get for Ed Orgeron and the Tigers, their 16th commitment in the 2020 class. Burns ranks as the number 4 prospect in Louisiana per the 247 Sports composite. Big picture, what does it mean? LSU is now on the verge of regaining the number 2 recruiting class nationally. And so for the first time in what feels like about 5 years, as memory serves, LSU is neck and neck with Bama. But as we know, they're not the only big dog on the college football block. Clemson right now occupies the top spot. But this is exactly where you want to be if you're Ed Orgeron coming into, what, year 3? I mean, come on. The guy's barely been around as the full-time head coach, and now you're looking at LSU, Clemson, and Bama. They've been the clear-cut top 3, but today another brick added to the wall that's going to keep the Tigers there favorably competing with Alabama on the recruiting trail. I think we all recognize that's the first step to favorably competing with them on the gridiron. But you'll have to keep doing it in the trenches. DBs, LSU's got them in spades, but they're going to have to keep replenishing that room. And this is a big ad today, Major Burns for Madison Prep. Potentially leaving the turnstile is Jonathan Giles. And you heard it during the two-minute drill. Shea Dixon, go 24-7. Hey, we know that guy on this show. Shea the first out with the news that Giles, after 2 years on campus, sat out one, transferring from Texas Tech, played last year to the objective chagrin, can I put it that way, of many LSU fans. They strapped number 7 on the kid basically because he asked for it. And I admire the chutzpah there, but boy, it didn't go well. And eventually, the guy who asked for 7 eventually asked to have it taken off his back. I try not to come down too hard on the amateur athletes, so I'm going to leave this one on the tarmac and not take much more in the way of flight here. It was an objectively disappointing season for Jonathan Giles. And with the incredible receiving talent that we all keep hearing about, it's understandable to me that he's looking for the door, or at least to see what other offers, what kind of suitors may be out there. But trust me when I tell you, this year, I think we're all about to see, and this doesn't take a huge leap, but I think we're all about to see the kid from Rummel entering year 2 become an absolute monster in the SEC. And you pair him with Justin Jefferson. We all know that Terrace Marshall provides a ton of size. LSU's got some other guys like that, the big-bodied receivers. But I think more than anything, it's Ja'Marr Chase, who I'm talking about, is about to absolutely blow minds in 2019. So it's understandable to me that a player in the position of Jonathan Giles, only one more year of eligibility, looking for that exit right now. All right, final rotation in our split screen. Mondo Duplantis, yesterday, finished 2nd. That's something that doesn't happen often for him. He jumped 19 feet and a quarter inch over at the Austin Relays, the Texas Relays in Austin. Interesting that this time last year, we were talking to him about competing in that as a high school senior. LHSAA tried to ban him from competing. Well, now he competed there as a freshman in college. And for the first time in 9 championship pole vault jumps, or maybe I should say 9 championship events where he's jumping for the pole vault, he didn't win. He finished 2nd, but he did tell Sheldon Mickles, the Advocate, in the aftermath, it is a possibility, and he'll consider over a couple of weeks, couple of months, hard to put a timeline on it, he said, he'll consider the possibility of turning pro. And I'll shoot you straight. We have these guidelines for the major professional sports in America, right? One and done is the deal for the NBA, at least for now. I think it's about to change. You're going to play baseball? If you show, you got to stay 3. Football, you got to show, and you got to stay 3. It's so much different, isn't it? For tennis, for track and field. I mean, for soccer even potentially. It's just so much different because they're not feeding a farm. They're not a farm system, basically, for something like the NFL, the NBA, or Major League Baseball. And so it really hadn't even occurred to me that Mondo Duplantis would be at LSU for any less than 3 or 4 years. But this is the same kid that we discussed having possibilities of, quote-unquote, turning pro right out of Lafayette High School. So I guess when push comes to shove, and I really think about it, it makes sense. And he's jumping at an all-world level right now, at least for NCAA participants. He has finished first 9 times, or 8 times, rather, first 8 times, and now second once. It's pretty darn good for a kid who got onto campus this past summer. In fact, it's elite, all-time elite at LSU. And so what happens for him next? Well, it's going to take a couple weeks, a couple of months to decide, but keep that in your back pocket because, well, the possibility is out there that you've seen the last of Mondo in the purple and gold. Again, I didn't think about that when I woke up this morning, so it's a good report from Sheldon Mickles, at least putting it in everybody's minds. All right, we're about to take our first break. Great guest list today. Let me tell you about it. At 4:30, a little more than 15 minutes from this moment, Hunt Palmer. And that's exactly who you want on deck when it's time to talk LSU baseball for Super Regional play. Hunt will be with us at 4:30. And straight up 5 o'clock, LSU football sideline reporter Gordy Rush. We'll ask him a little bit about Jonathan Giles, this receiving core, and then what he continues to notice about Joe Brady infiltrating LSU's offense. Gordy will be our only guest at hour 2. Again, that's straight up 5 o'clock. And from 6 to 6:30, we're getting the band back together. Blaine Viator going to come sit in live. It's our first week without Jeff Horchek, single tier. But we'll try our best to replace him, and we'll do it in the 6 o'clock hour. Get used to hearing Blaine Viator 6 to 6:30. As we get closer to football season, it'll be high school football heavy, if not exclusive, in that segment. But the content today, probably lean a little more toward LSU and Astros baseball. So Hunt Palmer, Gordy Rush, Blaine Viator, all scheduled for the program today. So don't go anywhere. Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Here we go, right back in. More B2BS, that's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. A lot of day baseball today. About to start a day baseball conversation with you. Before we do that, you hear Clint, myself, our host all day long, always refer to the 237 Roof Studios. Today, probably more than just about any day in the 2019 calendar year, that's a number you're going to want to remember. I spoke with Darren Domang of Lafayette Roofing earlier today. They began fielding calls at 1 a.m. So, yes, the inclement weather, it's put a lot of people in a bind at Lafayette Roofing. They can help get you out of it. Just take down the number, dial, let them help. 237-ROOF, that's 237-7663. And please continue to be safe out there. I know it's sunny in a lot of places now. The water's starting to evaporate and move out of the roads, but I saw a whole lot this morning that was not good. My guess is many of you did as well. So wishing everybody a safe afternoon into the evening and going forward. All right, CD, I mentioned I've got a baseball conversation. Let me set the table for this bad boy right now. Last night, the Cubs finally claimed Craig Kimbrell, who really had been sitting on the shelf for the Boston Red Sox since, what, training camp? Playing a really high-stakes chicken game with the organization, a la Le'Veon Bell, without some of the drama potentially with the Steelers last year. Kimbrell was snatched up by the Chicago Cubs. They're going to fortify their bullpen and look to remain the cream of the crop in the NL Central. That leaves somebody in a very similar position without a suitor. I got a question along those lines. First the music, then I'll get right to it.
Love
Kimbrel is claimed. Keuchel, however, not so much. Your sink or swim question of the day. Does Dallas Keuchel get signed by a team before the All-Star game? Not asking you who, but so far the leaders in the clubhouse continue to be, by all reports, the Braves followed by the Yankees. Astros fans, I know which one you'd prefer. But do you believe Kid Keuchel, former Cy Young Award winner, gets signed by somebody before the Midsummer's Classic? Call us, let us know. We've got some time. 706-0111. Clint, this was your brainchild, my friend. You came up with this idea. It's a good one. I'll let you lead us off.
I think I'm swimming here, and I'm swimming a lot of confidence, and I'll tell you why. Largely because of some news that has kind of come out over the last few hours about how the Braves are probably the team that is most interested in them, and they're probably going to be throwing a, I wouldn't say a godfather offer, but it's something I feel like, you know, Dallas Keuchel, considering this point in time in the season, he cannot turn down if he wants to be part of a team before the All-Star break. So I think he's going to be signing the deal probably within the next 2 weeks. I'm going to go bold prediction there with that.
So, okay, let's take this a step further. Give me this kind of sort of godfather offer. What's potentially on the table? Is that being listed yet?
I'm not seeing anything be listed, but I do know there's definitely a movement in the front office to try and get this dude signed as soon as possible. So you can about imagine, like, I'd probably say, hypothetically, a 3-year deal, probably about $5 million a year would probably be that offer that Dallas Keuchel's going to be like, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, see, the money is one thing. The terms are another in terms of the years. But I'm curious, if I'm him, I wonder what else is going to have to come in terms of this. I guess at this point, the Astros aren't getting anything in return. So this godfather offer, it's going to have to be money and maybe more importantly years, because the years is what he wasn't getting, Keuchel, from the Astros. And by all reports, I think eventually his representation came down to maybe even 2 years they'd be willing to accept, and it just the two sides couldn't meet, Keuchel and the Astros. Clint, I'm with you, but I don't have the same level of conviction. So I will swim here. But I always err on the side of closers when I think of level of importance in the modern game of baseball. And I watched the Indians do it 1 year, got all the way to the finals. I watched the Cubs do it same year, won the World Series. We see the Yankees do it just about every year. The Red Sox have found ways to do it, and in their own way, the Astros are doing it right freaking now. It, in case you haven't picked up on it, is loading up with an eighth inning and a seventh inning guy. Seriously, they are minimizing how often these guys have to go seven-plus innings, especially once you get to the playoffs. I know these are premium appearances, but the name of the game is get it to the seventh inning and then turn over the reins. And so think about all the, I mean, those Indians teams I mentioned, you know, gobs of money for Andrew Miller. The Cubs, gobs of money for Aroldis Chapman. Yankees are now spending that on Aroldis. They're spending it on Adam Ottavino, who came over from the Rockies last year. Chad Green. All of these franchises that have the do-re-mi are shilling out big bucks, not just for their closer. It's the entire back end of the game. And so for that reason, maybe alone, I always assumed that Kimbrel would be snatched up. For that same reason, I mean, look, the guy that's closing right now, Edwin Diaz for the Mets, guy that's closing, Colome for the White Sox, they're both being scouted by actual contenders. Why? Because they're really good and they're on bad teams. People are going to snatch him up and put him as their eighth inning guy, not even as their closer. And so I always figured Kimbrel would be taken. Will he end up being the closer for the Cubs? He might be. He could well be. I don't think they want to settle with Pedro Strop. I could see that. But when it comes to starting pitchers, Clint, I don't know. I just don't know if somebody is going to stick their neck out there for somebody to be their fourth or fifth starter, knowing damn good and well that once you get to the playoffs, that fourth, especially that fifth guy, is almost inconsequential. Just my two cents. All right, let's get out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Gary, do you think Keuchel goes by the All-Star game?
Yeah, I do think Keuchel goes before the All-Star game. One big reason why is you want to fit him in that rotation as quickly as possible. And the later you get him in that rotation, we all know that starters versus bullpen guys, it takes them a little longer to get that game time ready as a starter to be able to go deep. I don't think Keuchel's any more than a five starter, which is what he was at the end of the game in Houston. So just like you said, come postseason time, that starting rotation gets shortened up to your best four pitchers, and Keuchel could go to middle relief, wherever he goes, middle relief. If a starter's getting banged up, come in six, maybe hold two innings and then get booed. But that's why I think he goes before the All-Star break. Kimbrel, to me, was an absolute must sign for the Chicago Cubs. Last year they had Brandon Morrow got hurt. The year before that, Wade Davis, it was only a one-year deal, but he was phenomenal. And the year before that, we all know Robert Chapman. We all knew that was going to be a one-year deal. So the biggest thing for me, I am ecstatic that he got a three-year deal for $45 million. That just shores up the bullpen. I saw a stat weeks ago. It said the Cubs were 9-20 in save-hold opportunities. So they would have a record almost similar to the Astros if they could actually hold a lead. Their bullpen has just been abysmal this year.
Gary, I'm about to hit a break, but do me one favor. Call in and talk baseball more often, seriously.
Thank you.
That was awesome. And he's right. This is huge for the Cubs. As a lifelong Cardinals fan, you know, I'm not happy about it. I get why Gary is, though. We'll talk more about this, because the importance of end-of-game performance, and it ain't just the ninth inning guy, critical. But the idea of Keuchel maybe becoming a bridge man in the playoffs wouldn't be the first time we've seen that. I think that eventually became the reality for Tim Lincecum for a little bit on one of those world champion Giants teams. So sometimes stars ultimately get pushed into that role. Speaking of a star, we got one next. Hunt Palmer talking LSU baseball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show. All right,
this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
All right, I'm in need of a little help. A few good men, maybe a few good women. Here's the bad news. No Hunt Palmer. I shall explain. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, returning to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. You know, you assume and you become one of the people that gets made an ass out of. That just happens sometimes. Our guy Hunt is participating in a golf tournament as we speak. Completely forgot it was Thursday and in the 4 o'clock hour. So, look, Hunt does this out of the goodness of his heart. So, salute. We understand. We appreciate. But we're not going to get him prior to the Super Regional. Might try to add him to the docket tomorrow if he's free. But, again, his apologies turn into my apologies and then maybe an opportunity. Let's turn this into some LSU Florida State baseball talk. Again, I'll do my best to get Hunt on tomorrow. I do know that James Moran is coming, and I got one other LSU baseball-related surprise that I am still working on. But suddenly, I've got just this huge space that you can drive a wide-load truck through for us to have a conversation. So why don't we do that? 706-0111. We'll start areas of confidence, areas of concern on the LSU side of the ledger. How do you feel after what was an overall successful trip? You know, I'll back up before Hoover. 2 out of 3 against Auburn. Got what you needed, plus a little bit of line yap in Hoover. And then a clean sweep through the Baton Rouge regional round. Now, none of it was perfect, and I'm not suggesting that. But it's left LSU in a position of potential prosperity, whereas, you know, prior to that, it was, is it time to start talking about Paul in a hot seat? Which always felt a little premature for me, but that's certainly the conversation that was being had in sports bars like this one, where I'm at right now, on sports shows like this one, which I'm hosting right now. And so certainly, the tide seems to have turned. And maybe the best news of all is that LSU, which prior to Hoover was on the brink of hosting a regional, is now hosting a super. Now, on the flip side, the reason they're hosting is because a white-hot team went through the Athens regional like a Ginsu knife, and now they're coming to the red stick. And so I'm just wondering, where have you gained the most confidence? I'll start with my first log to toss in the fire. His name is Cole Henry. That's absolutely where I come into this weekend feeling a world different than I did, let's say, with the Arkansas series on the road and then some of the others that happened early to mid-May. Cole Henry is the biggest difference that this team really didn't have working for it the last month of the regular season. When he is right, we know he's got the best stuff on the team. He is the absolute perfect game two starter for any regional or super regional. Now, I do think he fits awfully well as your game one starter in Omaha. Let's not put the cart ahead of the horse. That's next week talk. But once you get to Omaha, you can't afford to play any games. You got to win right away. Get into the winner's bracket. It's too important there for the rest of your pitching and how it shakes out. But as far as this super, I still haven't seen anything definitive, nor does Maneri owe this. But I have to imagine that it'll be Landon Marceau Saturday, Cole Henry Sunday. And our guy Matt Moscona hopped on the show with us Monday. He's pretty adamant that it still needs to be Eric Walker in a potential game three. I'm not as wild about that idea, but then again, there may not be as many options. And in moments like this, I can hear my uncle's voice in my head, a rabid LSU fan. And every time the idea comes up of firing a coach, the very first thing he always says, "That's fine. Tell me who you want instead." And it's just, it's amazing. It's just been indelible. It hasn't left my dome. It's stuck to my brain. "That's fine. Who else you want instead?" And that's what so many people ask themselves during the end of the Les Miles era. "All right, you want to get rid of him? I don't have a problem with that part. A lot of money that's going to take to buy him out, but it ain't my money. Who do you want instead?" Then the question becomes, can you get him? With Oliva? Wow, that was always a dicey proposition. With Woodward? I'm willing to breathe a little easier on it. And so that same principle applies to maybe LSU's pitching options. And I was forced to do that after the interview with Scona. "No Eric Walker on Sunday? That's fine. Who you want instead?" Good question. Not sure there's a great answer to that, unless you want to intentionally approach Monday as a whole staff game. Season on the line, whole staff? It's not going to make anybody terribly comfortable. So I would say that Cole Henry is my biggest area of confidence, but my biggest area of concern might just be what in the bloody hell happens if you get to Monday. All right, don't leave me on an island here. Let's get some takes on this. Areas of confidence and concern for LSU baseball and what you're really looking forward to with the final two, possibly three games at Alec Box Stadium this season. We got some time for you between now and 5 o'clock, and unless Gordy Rush is playing golf, we'll have him aboard at straight up 5. Call us now. Let us know what you think. 706-0111. If I were going with some other areas of concern, I still think that it's been really weird. Good teams find different ways to win. But it's been weird when in games LSU's offense has roared. And maybe that doesn't mean much. Maybe as long as you get to a certain run total. Again, obviously, if you have more than the other team, that's the game. I know that. I don't need that call. But if you're averaging, you know, into that 5-6-7 range, then who cares if they come early or they come late? But I do know this. When LSU can jump out to leads, I'll take my chances with their bullpen. Especially if it's early in this series and those guys are fresh. When LSU falls behind, which they have in the last couple of Eric Walker starts, and by the way, those happen when the guys aren't as fresh because Walker starts usually the second or third, lately the third game of a regional or a Hoover trip. When he starts the third game, you fall behind, and then you got to rescue it with tired relievers and a shortened bullpen. Oh, boy. That, for me, becomes worrisome. So maybe a little bit of, I don't know, the continuity of the offense or when they strike. But you look at that first Southern Miss game. It's a lot nicer when they strike early, isn't it? And I understand that a lot of runners were put on base, and then Zach Hess gave up a grand slam tater that brought them all home. I think that's a little bit more of the exception than the rule. So LSU baseball having to claw out of a hole has happened a lot this year. I think everybody would prefer it the other way around. So let's do this. We'll take our final break of hour number one. On the other side, we got some more time for your calls. A few other things we could talk about, namely the NBA Finals. So don't go anywhere. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back at you for the place to be each and every Thursday. That's the Tap Room River Ranch. And keep dialing us in on 103.7 The Game.
Show. This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Right back in. One final time in the 4 o'clock hour. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Phone line's open for you, 706-0111. It's Thursday. A lot of people had to deal with all kinds of not-so-fun weather issues, so maybe not surprisingly, just past the quarter to five, good crowd here at the Taproom River Ranch, and I suspect they'll keep piling in. Rhythms on the River has come to an end, for the spring sessions at least. But no worries, they've still got music every Thursday, and for the rest of the summer, every Saturday at the Taproom River Ranch. Tonight, 8 to 11, Jones and Hollers will be here. No cover charge, just great live and local music. Come check it out, start your weekend early, and come back on Saturday. Same exact setup, every Thursday, every Saturday, the Taproom River Ranch. The place to be, no cover, just great music, and a great place for you to come and pass your next good time. All right, let's get out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Chad, welcome in. You want to talk a little LSU baseball?
Yeah, Ben, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I'm on my confidence level is not too high, but I think if Florida State plays the way they did last week against the best pitching staff in America, I don't care who you put in front of them, Vanderbilt, whoever, and they scored 12 runs, dude, I think we have no shot if they hit the ball like they did last week. We're not known to put up big numbers, man, running. I mean, what, 6, 7, 8 runs a game, maybe, if that. But if Florida State plays like they did pretty much all year, we definitely have a fighting chance, man. But if they swing the bats like they did last week, it's going to be a long series, I believe, bud.
It's a fair point. It really is. I'll dive into that. Thanks, Chad. He's right. Which Florida State do you believe in? The most recent vintage that went through Athens? Like a chainsaw? And, oh, by the way, I mean, this isn't any pre-shade. Just factually, Georgia had a better pitching staff rotation than LSU did this year by the numbers and probably even with some of the star power. So do you believe in the Florida State team that pillaged in Athens or the one that showed its face in ACC play and rightfully earned a 3-seed in the field of 64? Not only earned a 3-seed, but got sent to the number 4 overall seed's house. Probably fair to say that right in the middle, or at least somewhere in between those two extremes, is what you should expect. And to say that the way they played all year was one end of the spectrum, an extreme, I mean that in terms of traditional Florida State Seminole baseball and our normal expectations for them. Not too far different from LSU. They're typically a top 5 or 10 team. Certainly a top 5 or 10 program. And so when they kind of sputter and flounder toward a 3-seed, could you imagine the conversations we'd be having on this show if LSU was a 3-seed in, like, the Miami Regional? Woof. It would be ugly. So, you know, do you believe in that team or the one that went to Athens? Again, I'm going to suggest it's probably somewhere in the middle. I don't see any way that they stay on that type of offensive heater. Now, could they replicate 70-80% of it? Maybe. And then to Chad's point, if you're LSU, better find a way to have at least two games where you're up and over the bar of 6, 7, 8 runs in a ball game. And I don't think that's completely past LSU. I don't think that's an impossibility. But Chad, for one, has some concern because of the type of run that FSU was on coming to Alec Box Stadium. We got time for more. Let's take a few. At straight at 5 o'clock, we're scheduled to talk LSU football and more with Gordy Rush. Between now and then, we'll have a conversation. 706-0111. The other thing I think about is how does Giovanni DiGiacomo slot in? As great as he was in Hoover, I don't know that, you know, in limited shelf space, obviously, following the blowout win over Stony Brook, I'm not sure that in the two games against Southern Miss, limited sample size, that he was quite the same performer. So do you like him still in that number two spot? You want to break up what was kind of a presumptive top four to start the season with, I mean, Smith, Duplantis, Watson, Cabrera in some particular order. Do you want to break that up again? Can he give you some juice toward the bottom of the lineup, or do you still like him toward the top? So they've still got some questions, no doubt, on the LSU side to answer. But I think they're in a lot better shape now, everybody would agree, than this time 3 weeks ago to answer the bell. The fact that they'll be doing it in Alec Box should be a lot of fun to watch. And it should be a lot of fun to listen to as well. So don't forget, we'll have every single LSU-Florida State Super Regional ball game here on 103.7 The Game. The one thing I can't tell you, if it's going to be fun to attend those games. Maybe that's what we should be asking instead. What the hell are you going to do at 2 and 3 p.m. when you are sitting in the box? You might bake a little bit on Saturday. I mean, even Sunday's game for that matter. You'll be rescued a little bit if there's a game Sunday. 7:30 first pitch, getting into the nighttime, dipping into some of those slightly lower early summer temps. That place should be absolutely sweltering for the game on Saturday, and it ain't going to be too cool on Sunday either. My guess is LSU fans that are out there, the alcohol rules aren't in effect yet, so if it's in there, that means you brought your own hooch. Good on you. But you're going to have to go at a very hot route on Saturday and on Sunday, especially with that start time on Saturday. That's going to be a scorcher in the box. But how else would you like it? Otherwise, your alternative, hey, you could have been in Athens, Georgia this weekend. Much better, in my opinion, to be at home and have Florida State coming to town. Even if they're hot, they still have been awful Jekyll and Hyde throughout the season. Can they sustain it one more time after a little time to think about it and have everybody tell them how great they are suddenly and how great they are going to be? I don't completely buy into the whole Team of Destiny thing from this angle. I don't know that that's something that you could just snap a finger and it starts, right? If it was going to be anything of that nature, I think the win one for the Gipper season thing would have lasted, you know, all season. I don't think they just met after the ACC tournament and said, now's when we really make our mark for Mark Martin. And if they did, well, they need to bottle that up and sell it to people. A lot of teams, high school, college, pro, could use a little bit of that magic, you know? Find a way to just turn it on when it absolutely matters. If they can, then great. My guess is that's not likely to happen. Or maybe it's just pie in the sky. We'll talk more about it as the show and the week go on. I've carved out a bunch of time for our final word today because the latest rumblings, Celtics attempting to trade for Anthony Davis, they are interesting. I know it was discussed on the Jordy Holtberg show. I'm going to slice it a slightly different way. So let's get right to it. Your final word in the 4 o'clock hour.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Ransom. And apparently, and understandably, the Pels with David Griffin are going to want a king's ransom for Anthony Davis, and maybe that's not exactly sitting well with the Boston Celtics. So let's recap. About 4 or 5 days ago, it seemed like maybe it was going to be unlikely that the Celtics would be a great trade partner at least if you read kind of the reports coming out of Boston, Danny Ainge maybe wasn't exactly getting ready to line up and make that deal. Since then, we got the report last night that Kyrie Irving and the Nets have mutual interest, and so there's an increased likelihood that Kyrie Irving might be leaving. And while that might lead many to believe that Danny Ainge is going to lose on a risk he took on Kyrie and that he's going to have to rebuild around the youngsters, maybe those are assets he won't trade for Anthony Davis, not so fast, amigo. It looks like suddenly there's a realization that it's going to take Tatum, Brown, maybe Smart, and one of the Celtics' first-round picks. Now, I'll say this. If Danny Ainge could trade for Anthony Davis, he'd get rid of Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and one of his two first-round picks this year so fast it would make your freaking head spin. Jason Tatum's going to be the sticking point. I agree in theory that the Celtics make the best trade partner for New Orleans and Anthony Davis. I'm just not sure in practice that it'll come down to that. I think Danny Ainge is a little more shrewd than that, but I do know this. It seems like that baseline offer, or maybe the baseline offering, has been made clear. Griffin, he wants that Godfather offer. He wants a king's ransom. And that is the final word of this hour. It's brought to you by the Village Station, your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. All right, we are one-third of the way home. We missed out on Hunt Palmer. We'll try to get him back mañana. On the other side of our hour break, expected to talk LSU football with Gordy Rush. You don't want to miss that. And then Blaine Viator, 6 until 6:30. Doing our thing live at the Tap Room River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. Back in for more Bumper to Bumper Sports. I'm Ben Love, and you're listening to 1037 The Game. Quickly, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Hadn't talked to this man in too long. Gordy Rush, LSU football sideline reporter. Gordy, how goes it in BR?
Ben, doing good. Rough day. Over here in Baton Rouge, rain watch. Didn't hear much about Lafayette, but I know Lake Charles got hit with some of that. So thoughts and prayers with everybody affected. A lot of flash flooding this morning here in the capital area.
Well, I'll ask you this. How has that affected the campus area? I know that we're probably in that part of the school year where there might be some intersession classes, but how has that affected campus?
Yeah, it went bad on campus. Downtown Baton Rouge had some pretty bad flooding, actually close to our building, and really Livingston Parish. I've seen some spots that had 13,000 homes without electricity, but I didn't hear much about LSU.
Well, we'll talk a little LSU football here, and you just heard the news in our two-minute drill. Jonathan Giles has reportedly entered the transfer portal. Gordy, how would you run down LSU's leaders in the receivers room and who you expect to make the biggest marks in 2019?
Well, I think you got to start with Jefferson. Justin Jefferson, I think, continues to be the leader going in. I don't think he'll be get targeted percentage-wise as much as he did. Jerry Sullivan was really high on Justin Jefferson. And I think the change in offense will see more equal distribution of the football, much the way the New Orleans Saints do it. After that, I think that for me, Chase and Marshall, or Terrence Marshall and Jamar Chase, I think are situated for some breakout years. And then, you've got the 2-6-6 twins that'll be right behind them. But they have a lot of bodies. And you were wondering, that Kirkland got moved back to slot. And he looked, he looked pretty good. They like Racy McNabb at his size and kind of a hybrid H, kind of H-back tight. He's just a physical specimen. And the slot, Giles, really went in the top six, top eight. And so I'll be honest with you, it surprised me maybe that it's gone that long because I didn't see him break in the rotation.
You know, what's interesting to me, Gordy, is over the last couple of years, while Joe Brady was in New Orleans, they have found ways to use Taysom Hill at quarterback. Can Joe Burrow himself fulfill that role, or might there be a guy that they can bring in to shoulder some of that and still get that type of output?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, you know, Ben. I think he proved that he could down the end of the end of the season. I think the question is how much exposure, you know, how much they want to expose him to taking hits. I mean, Joe Burrow took a beating last year, a lot of it with the struggles of the offensive line. But there were a couple games in the end, the bowl game, the game against Texas A&M. He was able to get it done with deceit. He has shown the ability to do that. What I found out on the Tiger Tour, we knew that Miles Brennan was not 100% healthy. In fact, you know, I think he was dressed out sometimes and really not even eligible to play, just to put the, you know, the idea that they had somebody. So I think they were conservative with Burrow last year because, one, he was beat up, and two, because Brennan wasn't 100%.
Talking LSU football with Gordy Rush on 103.7 The Game. Your early thoughts, Gordy, on this year's Texas Longhorns football team, the type of opponent that they'll make in week two?
Well, obviously, Texas is coming off of, you know, a tremendous high after beating Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Had a chance to see that game. I'll tell you, Georgia, you know, we talk about it all the time with bowl games, Ben. You know, how excited was Georgia to be there? They didn't really look enthused. A lot of those guys were thinking about the NFL draft. And I'm not trying to make excuses. Texas was the more physical team. You know, one of the interesting things that we keep an eye on is typically Texas has started slow under Tom Herman. And, you know, one of the buzz around him is his fall camp is as physical as you'll find in football. You might recall, I think they lost to Maryland. And they've had some lost to Maryland the last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, is he going to ease off a little bit? It'll be the second game of the season. We'll see where Texas is at. And so it'll be interesting. You know, I think that Texas threw the football a whole lot, and their quarterback obviously made some plays with their feet, but they did not have any elite run game. And for me, that's the big question going in. Is Texas going to be able to run on this LSU defense?
A lot of LSU fans going to be heading west for that ball game, as you'd imagine. And, Gordy, typically you know more than me, so I'm going to ask you this question. I'm hearing a buzz that only 3,000 tickets have been allotted to LSU for that game. Are you hearing the same, and why in the world would that be?
I haven't heard that. I think the number that you're hearing is that probably 3,000 tickets are going to be available for LSU fans, and that is normal. You know, the problem, you know, Texas doesn't want to stick it to LSU because there's a return visit coming, right? So what happens, there's usually 7,000 allocated, and after you get through players, staff, TAF, all the obligations, there's really about 3,000 made available through LSU to the general public. That's what I've always been under the impression. So I think that that's probably more accurate.
Okay, so this game wouldn't be any exception to that. I also wanted to get your take, Gordy. This weekend, Les Miles going to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. I know there was a big shindig for him last night at LeBarge in Baton Rouge. It seems like this man continues to be a great ambassador for LSU despite moving on now coaching at Kansas. I guess your thoughts on where he's at and maybe where the fan base is at with the man now.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely. You know, Les is always going to, has always been and will always be very popular in this area. And I'm actually going to be up there Saturday as a member of that committee, Ben. I did miss last night because of travels. There's a huge turnout. And it, you know, when you look at it, you had people travel, old coaches. I think I saw Josh Henson's wife traveled over for the event. And when you think about 11 years, I suppose it was, you talk about a lot of lives that you touch, but also all four of his kids were raised in Louisiana. And, you know, to see that, the youngest daughter, well, first off, Smacker was a swimmer and all the people that, you know, she went through U High and LSU Aquatics and they touched it. And then Macy Miles, a softball player, and the same thing they all went through. So, you know, having a chance to see the pictures from last night, no doubt, it wasn't just Les. It was Kathy, and Kathy was loved and did a great job with the Bengal Bells and networking. And all four of those kids were raised and will always remember their time here in Baton Rouge as they went through, three of them went through high school here.
You know, Lynn Rollins, Gordy, was on our show yesterday, and he said when you boil it all down, Les will go down as the greatest head football coach ever at LSU. Would you agree?
Well, I think record, yeah. I mean, record-wise, you can't debate that. But, yeah, I think at this point, you know, you've got to put Les in that class. And I think, again, more and more time, more and more as the time goes on, you know, I think his popularity will rise, regardless of how he does up in Kansas. And, you know, had Chance Jacob and I had a chance to see him, and he wants us to come up to Kansas. I don't know when I'm going to do it to get up there for a time, but he's always stayed connected to the people that the people that he was close to and the people that he touched.
Another moment or two with Gordy Rush on Twitter at GLRush3. And Gordy's the reason that our Rockets, our ratings, I should say, skyrocket Thursdays, 5 p.m. in the fall. Is that correct, Gordy? Thursdays, 5 in the fall?
Well, that's it can't how we be Ruffin. I mean, God bless. I mean, I can't imagine Ruffin Rodri, you know, having anything to do with the ratings.
Could you imagine? This is a TV show. All right, one more for you, I promised. The fact that LSU is recruiting at such a high clip early in the Ogeron era, they got a big commit today. They're knocking on the door of being the number two class in the country. They're right up there with Alabama, with Clemson. I guess I'll ask you, how quickly can that translate toward them maybe being in that type of on-field position?
Well, you know, I was up at a conference last week. Everybody forgot LSU finished sixth in the country, right? And we know that Ed has always done a good job recruiting. What he's done is he's taken this thing national, this brand national. It's been a while since we've seen it. I don't know if we've ever seen the West Coast influence, Utah, California, you know, going up in the Virginia, D.C. area. He truly has gotten the best of the best. And, you know, that's what the big boys are doing. And so if you want to compete at that level, you've got to recruit at that pace. He's done a fantastic job. Can't say enough of, you know, Corey Raymond, Bill Bush has been an unbelievable recruiting, addition with all the stops that he's had. And, of course, we've seen some of the Tommy Robinson effect. He's the number one recruiter in the country at USC a couple of years ago. And all of a sudden, they're pulling from California.
Gordy, it's always fun to do this, whether it's here at the Tap Room or Friday at Rufino's on the River. We got to get you over the basin soon, brother.
Hey, anytime. I'll go anywhere but Rufino's. You let me know.
Thank you, Gordy.
All right, bud.
You got to love it. A man of principle. We'll work on that. Might have to find a way to satellite remote him in to a Rufino's on the River Friday remote. But a lot of fun to have him today. And a great way to kick off our second hour. Phone lines will be open when we return. LSU baseball. Astros baseball. By the way, they're trying to hold on to a 5-4 win right now into the latter innings against the Seattle Mariners. In fact, I'm getting an update. That's why we had a little hesitation. 6-4. All right, it was 5-4. So the Astros were able to add an insurance run middle of the eighth. 6-4. Astros with a narrow lead. So we'll talk plenty of baseball, NBA Finals, anything you like. Open bar, as our good friend Alan Michael used to say, on the other side. 706-0111. Our next scheduled guest, Blaine Viator, from 6 to 6:30. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Just about 20 minutes after 5 o'clock, right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. I'm Ben Love, and live at the Taproom River Ranch. It took me a little beat or two at the end of the last segment to get you that updated Astros score. They are leading 6-4 at Seattle. It'll be a getaway day. They'll travel after this, come back home. Orioles over the weekend. But what I was trying to figure out is exactly, well, how they did it. They manufactured a run. Robertson Chirinos, who, as you heard in the two-minute drill, homered today, his fourth straight ball game. Backstop coming to life for the Stros. He was plated after Tony Kemp hit a sac fly in the top of the eighth. And so the Stros right now continuing to roll. I would tell you that you can listen to them on our sister station, The Rewind, but then you'd stop listening to me. So that's just absolute insanity. So maybe don't do that. But I'll keep giving you updates as best I can. However, speaking of baseball at the professional level, that gets us back to our sink or swim question of the day. We'll open the phone lines back up for your takes there. 706-0111. And the question, does Dallas Keuchel get signed by a team before the All-Star game? And I'll remind you what brings that up. Craig Kimbrel came off the shelf last night. The Chicago Cubs running neck and neck right now at the front of the NL Central. Certainly one of the front runners, contenders in the National League. The Cubbies going to pay a good bit of coin. I believe 3 years, $45 million for Craig Kimbrel. And as I mentioned, they're going to get him for 3 years. So this isn't a rental. This isn't what we've seen in so many years. Good point from our caller earlier, Gary. This isn't like Chapman to the Cubs and a lot of these deals that we see to fortify a bullpen down the stretch of a season. They want him to be around for a couple of years in Chicago. And so with Keuchel, I think it's a bit of a different animal. Clint and I both are on the side where we swim here, but to different levels of confidence. CD is basically English Channel. I'm not quite as much, but I do think it'll happen. Teams get desperate. Injuries happen. Performers falter. And then sometimes you don't get exactly what you were hoping for out of your call-ups. And if you're a contender and your fourth or fifth slot right now in your rotation is occupied by somebody who you just brought up from your farm system, there's obviously inherent risk there. I could point to the Astros for that. They gave about a four-game run to Corbin Martin. Now he's back down. Forrest Whitley, at this point, really not even close to sniffing the show. His stuff is unbelievable. And he was popped 50 games last year, suspended for violation of the steroid policy, if I'm not mistaken. But this year, he hasn't been terribly good in AAA, and so I don't think he's anywhere close to earning that promotion. And so if you're somebody like the Stros, boy, Dallas Keuchel would make a lot of sense for you. But presumably you've been down that road with his representation quite a few times. And it went from multi-year to two-year, maybe even a one-year with a bunch of scratch, and then none of it ever happened. And so far everybody feels that Dallas Keuchel will be signed before the All-Star break. But I'm curious about what team he makes sense with. The Braves, by all accounts, are the front runner. The Yankees are interested as well. CD, you in lockstep with me that you'd rather see that be the Braves?
Yeah, it definitely would be, Ben, largely because of the fact it's not as much about him joining the evil empire that is the New York Yankees. I just think that I want to see Dallas Keuchel thrive in an organization like the Atlanta Braves and just feel like they're a couple pieces away from really getting some things going, giving us a little bit of a reminiscence of what was going on back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, look, I have a lot of friends that still live in the Atlanta area. They're strutting their stuff pretty good about the Bravos these days. And with good reason. They've got some of the best young talent in baseball currently up from the minors. And they have been since the beginning of last season. I mean, seriously, there's not going to be a lot. There's not going to be many that are better than Ronald Acuna. It's possible that Vlad Jr. might be one day. Some of these young guns that are coming up this year, they might have that type of fire. But they got a way to get to Acuna. And he's not the only run. I mean, Ozzie Albies, they have some serious young studs on that Braves team. But almost all of them are everyday players, hitters. When you look at their pitching staff, we'll see. I think they're kind of hoping right now that Kevin Gausman turns into something reliable for them, former LSU pitcher. But other than that, I mean, they're relying on Mike Folta, can't pronounce it. We'll call him Folty. They got some other guys that aren't going to light the world on fire. And so the Braves right now would scare nobody in the postseason with their pitching staff. They certainly could use a big gun. Now, where I might take exception isn't labeling Dallas Keuchel as that big gun right now. I'm just not sure that that's exactly what the Braves would need. Because if they bring him over and they need him to be anywhere between 1 and 3 in the rotation, which I think they would, that means you're one of the guys they're going to count on going into actual postseason play to start games on the road. I don't know. I'm just not sure that I'd count on Keuchel for that. And one other question, CD. You used to always make the joke, Keuchel is good in, is it odd or even number years? I want to see if this one syncs up, if all the stars align for this to be a good Kid Keuchel year anyway.
I think it winds up probably being one of those Kid Keuchel years, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, 2017 wasn't a half-bad year from 2015.
Well, okay, when did he win the Cy? Let's 2015. Just go to that. There you go. That answers the question right there. Yeah. You don't think, you know.
Like I said, I just had to kind of go back in my mind for a split second about 2017. Because 2017 wasn't Cy Young Award winning, but it was still a pretty solid year.
You remember what else happened in 2017?
They won the World Series.
They won the damn World Series. So odd years, Keuchel. Stros didn't want to sign up for that because of the amount of money. Somebody else, I do think, will before the All-Star break. And got a couple of weeks left before that occurs. You know, it might be an even more entertaining question. What happens first? Dallas Keuchel sign? Or Anthony Davis traded. I'd probably go AD there. Don't forget, the NBA draft is 2 weeks from tonight. There was a trade today between the Nets and the Hawks. Could that be Brooklyn clearing up room for a deal for a bigger fish? Almost certainly Kyrie Irving, maybe also Anthony Davis. Time will tell. But they gave up some picks, some young assets. Nets look like they're trying to make a little bit of room. And so we're always talking players, draft picks, trading places, whether it's the MLB or the NBA. This segment, we found a little way to connect the two. All right, on the other side of this break, speaking of the NBA, we're going to throw some shade, and there was an event on the sideline inside Oracle Arena last night that's inexcusable. Golden State has taken some action. I don't know that they have taken enough, especially when you consider who the perpetrator of a really dumb move was. I'll tell you all about it and we'll react to it. Time to throw a little shade on the other side. We'll have the phone lines open as well until 6 o'clock. Hit us when you need us. 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll bounce right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
When you get fighting mad, sometimes you gotta shove. When you are a fan at a game, I think there's a big line, especially when it comes to a player. Oh, we'll discuss. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love, the famous Clint D, bringing you home on 103.7 The Game and still having a blast at the Tap Room River Ranch. I don't want to waste a lot of time with this one. My guess is it might lead to a good back and forth. So far, YP, you people out there in listener land, you've been a little quiet on a Thursday. Sometimes this happens with our program as we get into the dog days of, well, at least early summer. You don't always come out of it until SEC media days. I get it, but there's a lot to discuss these days and a lot of fun to be had. LSU baseball into the Super Regionals, NBA Finals in full swing, and the underdog is leading. So just saying, we got some time where we can have some fun whenever you want. 706-0111. Now it's time for your daily reminder. A PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing sea metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers to take care inside your home. And how reliable, how much safety and peace of mind that gives you, that life outside of your home will be beautified while never worrying about things inside the home. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Mark Stevens, come on down. If you were trying to do for Golden State what Drake continues to do for Toronto, I'm not so sure that you have succeeded. Stevens is a venture capitalist. He's also an investor and minority owner of the Golden State Warriors. During an ownership change in the Dubs in 2013, he was part of the financial backbone that helped to put this thing back where it needed to be. If you search the interwebs, I won't bore you with the quotes, but there are plenty of them about exactly how much of a difference that he was going to make with his expertise for the franchise. And so this wasn't just Joe Schmo that was sitting courtside. This was a guy who is a minority owner of the team. And you probably have all seen it at this point, but Kyle Lowry, starting point guard for the Raptors, went flying out of bounds, chasing after a loose ball. And we've seen this so many times. Players that go flying into the stands, into photographers, into broadcasters, into scoreboard operators. It is a part of the game, and make no doubt about it, when you buy that ticket and you agree to sit there, you assume the risk of what comes next. The same can be said of getting hit with a foul ball, a home run, or anything in a baseball game. And I know I'm saying that within 2 weeks of the unfortunate incident at Minute Maid, right? When a Cubs player yanked one down the third baseline and hit a poor little girl. Nobody wants that to happen. And maybe there are some ways to increase the safety, right? Extend the nets, I don't know. But still, when you buy a ticket, you know that that kind of thing can happen. And so it's unacceptable when Lowry goes flying into the stands for anybody, much less a minority stinking owner of the team, to push him. And if you've seen it, you know. He didn't just try to shield himself, right? He didn't put up a hand almost defensively, like, all right, don't come into my territory here. He went after him aggressively. And as Lowry, who unfortunately went right through this poor lady, I mean, just like a running back, dump trucked her to go to this basketball, but he's doing his job. And this guy, Mark Stevens, as Lowry's on his way back up, just puts a nice forearm shiver into him and pushes him. So I'm throwing all kinds of shade at Mark Stevens for thinking for any reason that he's allowed to do that. Now, here's what we do know. About 7 hours ago, the Warriors released a statement saying that they were going to ban Stevens from ball games for a year. Within the last hour, well, the NBA, along with the Warriors, have doubled down on that. Mark Stevens has been banned for a year and fined $500,000. And so with that new news, I'm a little more okay with what's being done. I don't think he needs to become Bartman. I don't think he needs to become somebody who's banned necessarily for life. That might be a little too strong, but he also, for darn sure, doesn't deserve any extra treatment, right? He doesn't deserve any home cooking just because he helps to fork up the dough as a minority investor in the franchise. But you got to be careful when you start to broach these subjects. If you're not careful, you get malice at the palace. If you're not careful, you get Ron Artest. I was trying to think of what name he goes by. Meta World Peace. If you're not careful, you get a guy named Meta World Peace coming to kick your ass. And that sounds contrary, that name, that action. But that's what happens. And if you want him and Captain Jack knocking you out in the stands, respect to Steven Jackson, an all-time OG in NBA circles. If you want Jermaine O'Neal clocking some guy who looks like Turtle from Entourage on the floor, then sure, keep throwing stuff at players. Keep pushing players. You might be surprised. Even the ones that look like point guards, though, they're bigger than you. They're stronger than you. And you wouldn't want to see them in an alley, so don't push them when the lights are on in front of everybody.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Absolutely slays me. One of the first texts I got, I woke up to it this morning, actually. Good friend of mine, loves the association. And we were going back and forth on Kyle Lowry, and he said, yeah, I don't think I'd be too worried about him. like in a physical confrontation. I said, get out of here. Get out of here. We get so conditioned to saying, ah, look, he's smaller than the rest of the guys. Yeah, because they're 6'8". Come on now. Don't kid yourself. Kyle Lowry would put it on you. With very few exceptions of human beings throughout the Acadiana area. I don't have a lot of doubt about that. Okay, certainly Dustin Poirier and, yeah, a few others. They can go on one side of the line. Daniel Cormier. But, you know, the rest of us, mere mortals, probably don't want anything to do with somebody like Kyle Lowry. All right, I got to hit our final break of the hour. When we come back, one of your final opportunities to weigh in during today's program. And then do not forget, we've got Blaine Viator coming at you from 6 until 6:30. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
The stuff he does is, he does things that, honestly, I don't think anybody has ever done before. The way he plays the game, the way he shoots it, and the combination of his ball handling and shooting skills. It's incredible to watch. He was amazing.
Steve Kerr on his star performer. Steph Curry going off last night, albeit in a loss. Right back in. We are Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live on 103.7 The Game. Our home today, every Thursday, the Tap Room River Ranch. Get ready for a great time here tonight. I'll be with you, along with CD, until 7. Jones and Hollers laying down the sound, live music, no cover charge, 8 until 11. In fact, I see somebody entering the bar right now with a Hawaiian shirt on. So, look, just come do your thing. Have a little bit of fun and get ready to roll on a Thursday evening. All right, somebody's celebrating with a Hawaiian shirt, but this might not make you jump for joy. Roberto Osuna was looking to clean up a 5-out save for the Stros. Score was 6-4. Osuna gave up one run, although it will be credited in the eighth inning back to Ryan Pressly. And he just gave up one in the ninth. So currently, bottom of the ninth in Seattle, 2 outs. Osuna still on the mound, but it's 6-6. So right now, best case scenario is that the Stros Mariners will play extra innings. Yes, that game is airing on our sister station, The Rewind. But keep it here with us, and I'll continue to give you frequent updates. That way, you get the best of both worlds. All right, back to Steve Kerr and back to Steph Curry. We led off our segment with some sound there. I'll give some thoughts on his performance last night, and then I'll get you to weigh in when you're ready. 706-0111. 47 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. And he didn't exactly do it in the context of what I like to refer to as a Carmelo Anthony special. It wasn't that type of effort. He was 14-31, so yeah, a shade below 50%. But one of those old school, I'm getting mine, no matter what games from Carmelo, even like 05 to 07 era Kobe, who I referenced earlier. I mean, those cats are going to take 40 to 50 shots in some of those games. 14-31, most of them from deep. And so Steph Curry last night, as his coach led on, I mean, straight fire. He knew they needed it. Didn't have any other offensive output. No Klay Thompson, no Kevin Durant. He was awesome, but it wasn't enough. And it won't be if he doesn't get some help starting Friday night with Game 4. Now, the good news for Warriors fans, which is, you know, like nobody except for people in Golden State and people who used to like Jordan and Kobe and LeBron, and now they like these winners. The good news for those people is that it does look like Klay Thompson will be back. Kevin Durant, however, has been ruled out for Game 4. And Kevin Looney looms as a possibility, added back to the rotation before the end of these finals. And I don't want to steal too much of Clint's thunder, because about an hour from right now, he's going to take you under the dome. And the topic, I'll let the cat out of the bag on the topic. Are the Raptors now the favorites to win the NBA Finals? I don't know that I'm willing to go that far. I think, if anything, they're even Steven. I know that in the series they're not, that it's 2-1 Toronto. They each have two games that they would host at home if this thing went the full allotment of seven. But I think an increasingly healthier Dubs team with the championship pedigree, I'm not ready to bet against them. Not even a little bit. There's only one outcome in this series that I would bet against at this point. I would bet against the Toronto in five with my unborn child's college savings account. I mean, seriously. Toronto's not winning these next two games and winning 4-1. It's not going to happen. But anything else in there wouldn't exactly surprise me. Toronto in six or seven. Golden State in seven. I wouldn't even rule out the possibility of Golden State in six. Now, for that to happen, Warriors defensively will have to be a completely different team than they were last night. Completely. Way too many wide open looks. Van Fleet, especially Danny Green, who was great in the first half last night. They shot the heck out of the basketball from deep. But I think it's because they didn't have some of the premier defenders in the league getting up in their grill. And so I do look for things to change beginning in game four. But that will be the pivotal game. It's funny, we oftentimes talk about game five. Well, you're in a spot now where you don't get to have a pivotal game five unless Golden State wins game four. Because I will change my tune completely doing a show on Monday if the Raptors win game four on Friday. If it's 3-1 and we're talking on Monday, yeah, I think from that point, I'd put the chances of Golden State winning out three straight at relatively low. But what we saw from Steph last night, that was impressive. And CD, maybe he heard us. You recall yesterday our sink or swim question, who's the most important cog in the Warriors machine? How many of us answered Steph Curry there?
That would be both of us.
No, that would be none of us. Neither of us answered Steph Curry as the most important cog. I knew you didn't
listen
to the show, bro. I knew you didn't. No, you did not.
I went Steph Curry and Clay Thompson.
Oh, you went. You hedged bets. You absolutely hedged bets. And I said Clay. I would understand an answer of Dre. But I don't think there are a lot of people who were at the front of the line carrying the torch and shouting, it's Steph Curry. And the guy's only been the two-time MVP. And I think he showed you a little bit last night of kind of who he is. Nice reminder of what he can do. But if he has to keep doing that, they're not going to win these series. In fact, in a really big twist of irony, I don't know if you've thought about it this way yet. It occurred to me this morning. If the Warriors don't get healthier for the rest of the series, I'll give you an example. Durant never comes back. Klay Thompson goes in game four, re-aggravates, and is done. If they find themselves in that type of spot, there will be no difference, very, very little, in fact, between Steph Curry for these finals and LeBron James for every finals that he faced the Warriors in. Had you thought about that yet?
I had not
and
thought about
not,
it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to – I hadn't really thought about that, Ben. That's definitely a point that I did not really think about heading into today.
Well, thank you for confirming that in a few different ways. But my point would be, yeah, I mean, he'd be in the exact same spot. And it's so hard to be Atlas in these situations. Because if you look at the rosters as currently constituted, the Raptors and the Warriors, and you take Clay and Kevin Durant off of one side, the Warriors have a better and more well-rounded team, period. It's not even close, in fact. Now, could you make an argument that Steph Curry is a better individual piece and the bigger superstar out of him and Kawhi? You could. People would listen to that argument. Again, two-time MVP. Now, Kawhi has done things that Steph will never do. Defensive player of the year multiple times. So I could see where you might go tit for tat there. But if you took them out of the equation, give me Kawhi's supporting staff like 10 times out of 10 if there's no KD or Clay. So this thing is starting to get really interesting. And we might just have the conversation that injuries are the only thing that could derail this Warriors team. Maybe before free agency, but that's another story for another week. But if that does happen and the Warriors remain a MASH unit, then Steph Curry is going to get a really nice dose of what it's like to be LeBron James. Getting a team, leading a team to the finals. And Steph truly did that post KD in the Western Conference Finals. He lit people up, got them there, dispatched of Portland in really quick fashion. However, the finals are a little different animal. LeBron learned that time and again, getting over only once on the opposition while a member of the Cleveland Cavs. And so it's hard in the modern NBA. We talk about making sure that you've got these super friends teams. Well, sometimes even super friends get hurt. And when they do, what are you? You're LeBron in Cleveland. Or maybe this year, you're Steph in Golden State. Just something for you to chew on there. Clint, glad you agreed. We'll be back on the other side. Blaine Viator sitting in 6 to 6:30. Hopefully, we're not telling you about an Astros lead blown, but we will talk Stros in general and his thoughts on LSU, Florida State in the Supers. If we find time, maybe we'll go down the road of a little high school football. Might pick his brain on the Alabama offer for Walker Howard earlier this week. We got plenty of that coming your way. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Bumper Sports, and we're coming live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Rolling into our third and final hour on a Thursday. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, for the next 30 minutes, join Lane Viator, my partner in crime, the famous Clint D, back inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. As we bring in Blaine, we're doing our best to give you Astros updates. Yes, it's airing right now on our sister station, The Rewind. But if you stay here, listen to B2BS, you get the best of both worlds. Sports talk in Acadiana, plus plenty of live break-in updates. So here you go. After Asunya, Presley gave up two to knot this thing at six in Seattle, we went to extras. Now, top of the 10th, Reddick just authored a sack fly when the bases were loaded. Stros are back on top of Seattle. 7-6 is the score. Derek Fisher is at the dish with two outs. Still runners on second and third. So still an opportunity maybe to add to that now 7-6 lead. As we know more, we'll share more. Partner, welcome back in. Your thoughts on the Stros, not just today, but, I mean, having won 24 of the last 30, one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yeah, before last night's game, winning 24 out of 30 without arguably your top three out of your top four players out, you know, on the DL with injury. I mean, they're a phenomenal team, Ben. They keep coming at you in waves. They got guys that could just do all the little things, and they really play as a team, and they do all the little things right, and they find ways to win games, and they're battling right now, you know, like you said, in extra innings, and the back end of the bullpen gave up the lead, but look, that didn't stop the Stros. They came back the next inning. They were able to reestablish and take the lead, and let's see what happens here.
There's been a lot made to what they may need to do before the end of the trade deadline, right, where their biggest needs are. How much do you read into needs for a team that's this good, knowing that they've been doing it with as many injuries as they've been kind of having to contend with? When you factor those two things in, are there big glaring needs, or do they just need to really get healthy?
Well, I think getting healthy is the first and foremost thing, but you also got to look at their farm system. They got guys still in the minor leagues that are just absolutely raking right now. Those guys aren't getting called up yet.
This is the part where you tell me Yordan Alvarez should get called up?
No, obviously those guys, Jeff Lenho and company, they know at the right time, but, you know, you got guys like Tucker that's playing really well. I'm not too concerned when you're looking at, you know, the lineup. I think I came on the show about a month ago and told you that frontline pitching is still an issue. I believe that still. I think before the deadline, they're going to have to go get a quality arm that could come, you know, in third in the rotation and light it up for them.
I think since you and I spoke last, I've gained a little bit more confidence in Wade Miley. Have you, and can that confidence last itself.
Well, I mean, when you have a lineup that the Astros have, I think you're going to get a little bit of confidence no matter who they put out on the bump. But I don't know if I have full confidence in him at this point. You know, the bullpen's been really good. I know today's a little dicey, but I don't know if I really trust him. I like to see what happens when Colin McHugh comes back healthy. Can you put him in the rotation, or do you slide him back, and he could be a guy who could come in and eat up some of those innings in middle relief? They have the luxury to have a lot of toys to kind of play with and figure this thing out. I really think they need to come out and get a frontline starter and a big name splash by the deadline.
Dallas Keuchel would fit their need in that case almost perfectly, and yet that's almost certainly not going to happen. The news that the Braves and the Yankees are the two front runners, I'll let you react to that.
Well, I mean, look, it's an odd year too, right? So it's Keuchel's year, so you expect him to come back. I would expect a little bit of rust, though. I mean, he hadn't pitched in quite some time, but look, those guys want to come and pay big money for him. More credit to him to go out and get the money, I understand. I'm surprised that, you know, he's really giving the Braves a lot of consideration. You know, if he really wants to come out and win and have a chance, hey, you want to talk about a team that's winning with a bunch of injuries, the New York Yankees are doing it with guys all over the DL, just like the Astros. So I would think the Astros and the Yankees would give him the best opportunity to, you know, play in the postseason deep and get a world championship ring. I'm not sure the Braves give him that opportunity with the lineup they have currently.
Oh, I think they do with their lineup. I don't think they do with the remainder of their pitching staff. So to your point earlier, if the Astros are looking for somebody to be 3 through 5 in the rotation, not Kevin Gausman, he's on the roster. If the Braves go out and get Dallas Keuchel, they're going to ask him to be 1 or 2.
Yeah, he's going to have to be, you know, and I agree with you on that. I don't know if that's a team that's, you know, really poised to make a postseason run. They're still young, though. They got a lot of baseball ahead of them with that lineup.
I would put money down right now that the Braves play in game 163 of the season in the NL. So I don't think they win the East, but I think they'll be in that play-in game, basically. That feels like about their level this year.
And they're right there. I mean, they're only 2 games back right now in the NL East. But, I mean, the National League is not the American League right now, Ben. So we'll have to see how it all shakes loose. But I think if Dallas Keuchel wants to win a ring this year, the New York Yankees, out of those two options, give them the best chance.
And we'll see how much the man just wants to swing a damn bat. Maybe that's part of it as well. Ben Love joined by Blaine Viator.
Did you see, though, that if he does sign with the Yankees, they want him to shave the beard?
I did not see
that. Yes, I saw that on Twitter this weekend. And
by the ghost of George Steinbrenner.
Yeah,
what the hell is that?
A lot of folks weren't excited about that. So he'd have to kind of sell his soul a little bit, you know, and get rid of that beautiful beard that he's developed over the years.
Wow. Hey, before we completely jump off the Astros, I do want to talk LSU Florida State. We'll be pretty heavy there for the rest of our time. You mentioned these prospects, right? I think Astros fans know tons about Kyle Tucker. He's been up to the big show on a few occasions. Yordan Alvarez seems to be the next big thing. Corbin Martin got a little run pitching this year. Sox fans know about Forrest Whitley. Are those guys off limits? And so there are multiple ways that you can build your squad. Are those four in particular off limits if you put yourself in Jeff Luhnow's shoes?
No, Jeff Luhnow came out and said that this week, that nobody's off limits. Just he values certain guys and he expects to get a certain return for some guys. So those four guys, I would think it would take, you know, a big time.
Dude, I got to be honest. I think they're untouchable.
I would hope so as an Astros fan, but just based off what he said, I don't think they are. But, I mean, who do you go out and get? You know, who are those guys worth? In my opinion, there's not many guys.
They're not worth a rental third or fourth starting pitcher for the remainder of this year.
No, it has to be somebody like a Verlander or something like that. And that, I mean, I don't even know if they have one of those guys out there.
Now, in fairness, let's use the Cubs as an example. They went out last night and got Craig Kimbrell. In fairness, they did a 3-year deal. And so they locked down their closer for the next 3 years. If the Astros could find that type of gold at this point, then maybe they could poach just an outright dog off of a team that's struggling right now. I could probably think of a few if I really dug deep. You know, who's good for Kansas City? Let's just think of the really bad teams. Who's good for this, that, and the other? But I'm not sure that guy's out there either.
No,
it
would have to be somebody that you would sign and lock up for a multi-year deal. And, look, it worked with JV, but who's to say it's going to work with the next guy that you get on a rental? But the Astros are just one out away now, up 7-6 in the bottom of the 10th inning.
There you have it. So they didn't add another run in the top of the 10th. And right now, as Blaine said, 2 outs and an 0-2 count. So we'll let you know if they close it out here in short fashion. All right, we'll switch over while we have time in this segment. LSU-Florida State, had a caller earlier say he doesn't like LSU's chances in this series because of how hot Florida State was swinging the bats. Can that translate to Baton Rouge, a team that really didn't have that for almost the entirety of their regular season?
Yeah, look, let's not get lost in the identity of who the Noles are. They got hot over a weekend last weekend, but, hey, look, this team was a bubble team. Didn't even know if they were going to make the postseason a couple weeks back. So I think everybody kind of gets lost in the Martin magic, you know, last season. But, hey, look, Alex Box is a special place, man. Even though you're on some kind of run to come in there and to be able to swing the bats and play good sound defense like they have been able to do, that's something they struggled in all year, Ben. And you want to talk about they able to swing the bats high, but they've been struggling with errors all year too. It's going to be a difficult place for them to play this weekend.
If I'm not mistaken, we've yet to get a probable starting pitching lineup from Maneri. Would you be surprised if it were anything different than Marceau, Henry, Walker?
Well, those are going to be the three names. It's just how he's going to pitch them out. I think that there's a chance that he goes Henry in the first game. I personally hope he sticks with Marceau and then comes in Henry for either, you know, to put away the Noles or playing for your season. I would prefer going that method. That way Henry's, you know, your pivotal guy in that swing game.
I feel the same way. I don't know that there's a lot of alternative to Marceau Saturday, Henry Sunday. I don't love the idea of Eric Walker on Monday, but we had Matt Moscone on the program earlier this week, and basically his point was, who else you got?
No, I don't
what
know
else you going to do?
Out, right?
And he said, I'd rather have a guy that's experienced, even if the expectation is two or three innings.
Well, that was going to be my next thing is maybe you stroll him out there and you don't let him go five like you did last week where he was able to run into a little bit of a problem. Look, put him out there and use that old Johnny Holstaff approach, man. You go give me two or three innings. And if I was able to use my bullpen like we think they can this weekend, and you got a ton of arms out there.
You'll have arms available.
You'll have arms out there.
There's no doubt there will be arms available. Oh, man, I got to break it with bad news, compadre. Hector Rondon just gave up a massive tater to right field. And so this game in Seattle, back tied up at 7, Strohs and the M's. That ball was clubbed.
Well, he was able to work it back. It was an 0-2 count, like you had mentioned. They worked that count back even, and he served him up, and he matched it.
Yeah, Navarez with a solo homer. So it's back tied at 7, still 2 outs. We'll let you know more. But let's get back to LSU Florida State. I am scared poopless about the idea of anybody having to go Holstaff for a game to save a season. Can you not feel concerned with that type of optics when you're in postseason play?
I mean, do you expect Eric Walker to go out there and give you 6 or 7 strong? I don't think you can. So
I'm worried about the damage that could be done against him in the first 3 or 4 innings, because that has happened to an extent with his start in Hoover, maybe to a little less extent that early on when he started against Southern Miss.
Yeah, he looked pretty good in the first couple innings. They were able to get to him, though, and I think walks begin to be a problem for him. He couldn't locate his fastball. But, you know, if you're able to get 7 strong from Marceau and Henry, and you're able to rest guys like Trent Ventmire and Todd Peterson and the whole bunch, you can come with an array of guys on Monday to close it out. But like I said, I really want Henry in that pivotal swing game on Sunday.
Completely agree. Let's take a break. We'll be right back in. A little more LSU baseball. If we can get to high school football and recruiting, we shall. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, having fun at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in business, more B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget, the fun will continue after we're done at 7. And it's right here at the Tap Room. They've got live music, Jones and Hollers, 8 until 11, more than 40 beers that are on tap, the best flatbread in town, and my personal favorite, the wings with the swing sauce. First time Jeff Horchek came in, got the wings with whatever, you know, the worst option is of the two, and I just looked at him and gave him like the Mutombo finger. You can't do that to yourself. You need to step up to the swing sauce. Blaine, for about the next, 12 or 13 Thursdays, I watched Jeff Horchek crush wings with the swing sauce. So he learned quickly.
Well, it seems like you know what you're talking about when it comes to wings, man. But there's a nice crowd over here. The weather's fantastic considering what we woke up to this morning. And got a good crowd, man. Good atmosphere here at Taproom River Ranch. You folks need to get out here and have a good time.
Blaine Viator joining us for another moment or two. By the by, the Stros got out of the bottom of the 10th. It's still tied at 7. Alex Bregman at the plate. It's the top of the 11th. In Seattle. All right, let's go back to LSU Florida State baseball. You brought up a good point in the break. As much as there is maybe a little bit of uncertainty with that third starter for LSU, Eric Walker not in his best form lately, your other options there are guys who are normally relievers, Hess, maybe even Peterson. I know they've started games before, but you probably aren't expecting them to go long either. You brought up a good point in the break. The opposition's projected starting pitcher hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire either.
No, I mean, they got a Friday night guy just like everybody does, and he's salty. He could come in and deal. But then they got a guy who pitched in the second game, and his name escapes him right now, but he comes from the left side. And he has good stuff, good movement, but he serves up a lot of home runs and gives up a lot of hits. He's a left-hander. His ERA is 5-point-something. So what struck me as odd when I looked at the numbers is he gives up a higher batting average to left-handed hitters than right-handed hitters. So I know that's not typical, but you got to like LSU's matchup in that one.
The projected starters for Florida State, they have these with a little more certainty than we do LSU. But I don't know if you listened, Blaine, on Tuesday, Tim Linnefelt joined the show, Seminoles.com. That's the equivalent of LSUSports.net for Florida State. So this man actually works for the university, kind of like Cody Warsh. And he said that he would bet a lot of money that Saturday, Sunday, Monday is going to be Drew Parrish, C.J. Van Eyck, and Connor Grady. Now, Parrish, as you mentioned, more than just salty, an eighth-round pick of the Kansas City Royals. So he'll be playing pro ball sooner than later. Van Eyck, not as good, but not just nondescript. Good pitcher. But to your point, Connor Grady probably leaves a good bit to be desired.
Yeah, and I think that's a matchup LSU could really take advantage of. But I kind of go back on your line of thinking when you want to talk about the pitching matchups for LSU. If not Eric Walker, who? And my question is, if he doesn't pitch at all in game one or two, for whatever reason it is, can you go Zach Hess? And how much do you trust Zach Hess? How long is the leash for
Zach Hess?
Wouldn't
that be the ultimate, I don't want to say end, but wouldn't that be like the ultimate turn of events in this 2019 season where there's been so much consternation over that?
We started out the season where Maneri, you know, adamantly said, he's our dude. We got him. He's our guy. And he had to backtrack after, you know, it just didn't work out for Zach Hess for whatever reason. But Zach Hess is a guy who typically gives up a lot of long balls. This is a Florida State team that has been hot as of late, swinging the bat. So I don't know what matchup I prefer. You mentioned Eric Walker's form. It's been hit or miss. He had a bad start over at Hoover. Last week's start was kind of ho-hum.
LSU Florida State at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Will that be the hottest game at Alec Box in a hot minute?
Yeah, it'll be a while, but hey, I tell you what's going to be hot. The stands are going to be hot. It's going to be rocking. It's going to be the Alec Box magic. Folks are going to be tailgating at 6 a.m. like they would a football game. I mean, folks haven't been to Alec Box for a postseason game. It's all the hype that you get in Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night in the fall. It's fantastic. The heat, I'm not too worried about that for either team. You know, both teams are from the South. It's going to be how does Florida State handle that environment. They've been known to choke in the postseason for, you know, God knows how many years.
Yeah, it's kind of what they're known for in that sport in the postseason. Another moment or two. Ben Love joined by Blaine Viator. You hear the background noise? Good. We hear it live. We're enjoying it. We're out at the Taproom River Ranch having a good time. And we'll slide into the briefest of high school football talk / recruiting. I'll get to today's news first. Major Burns commits to the Tigers. 4-star defensive back from Madison Prep. Thought as a guy that might be able to play numerous positions, maybe even slot in as a nickel corner. Your take on the get?
Well, as you just led me in. I mean, they love his versatility. He's a long guy. He can play safety or cornerback. He's a guy who kind of just really developed his game in the last 6 months or so. He didn't camp very well at LSU or anywhere last summer, but his body really matured and he came into himself, had a bang-up junior year. And I mean, he just absolutely dominated the camp circuit in the 7v7 this spring and summer so far. He's a guy that everybody wanted. He was just at Alabama a couple days ago, went ahead and committed. I don't know if you guys saw the commitment video that they did for him. It was a great one. Get out there. It's on Twitter. Check it out. But LSU loves what they get from him, the versatility, the length, somebody that can come up and play the run. He loves to be physical. He's not afraid to come and get physical at the line of scrimmage. I think he's a guy that's going to play a lot of football in the purple and yellow.
Madison Prep Chargers, a lot better known for sending basketball players to the next level, and then the level beyond that, when you think about Jarrell Martin, Brandon Sampson, both in the NBA right now. I think they got some more that could get there with Josh Anderson and the like. But they're starting to develop a reputation with guys on the gridiron as well. Major Burns, the latest example.
Yeah, and they also got Joel Williams this year, too, who is another four-star product, defensive back, more of a safety type, who was a higher-rated prospect compared to Major Burns coming into this year. But like I mentioned, Burns just blew up in the camp circuit and just really established himself as that power guy coming out.
Got about 90 seconds here. Your reaction to the early Bama offer for St. Thomas More Football's backup quarterback. People probably are getting sick of me putting it that way. That is, however, a current fact, not an opinion. But there's no debate that Walker Howard is going to be a freaking stud. What do you think about Nick doling out that offer?
Oh, I mean, you got to get in. Look, that's the way it goes these days, man. You got to get your hat in the ring early to have a chance. I seen him play this past year at the JV game against Carranker High, and he's phenomenal, man. He can run, he can throw, make all the throws on the money. He throws well on the run, on the move. He's going to be a guy that pretty much everybody's going to offer. He's a great athlete, and I mean, he comes from good stock, right? I mean, his dad played at LSU. His cousin, the tight end there, is going to be a college football player in his own right. But, I mean, STM's just able to pump out guys right now from that quarterback position. Shane Savoy, offensive coordinator over there, is just grooming those guys. He's pretty lucky. It seems like they're growing on trees over in Cougar Town.
Nate Cox wins the program's first ever and still only state title. He leaves. They go right into the guy who's leading the charge right now, and Caleb Holstein. After that, presumably, it'll be Walker Howard. After that, presumably, it'll be Eli Holstein. And so I guess the only thing I could say is to the Howard family, you might need to pump some more out, whatever we can do to get some more.
You're next, right? You better get down on this. No, he's a phenomenal player. That's not going to be the only offer. They're going to be coming in droves to offer the kid from Lafayette. I think he'll have double-digit Power 5 offers by the time the season's over.
Blaine, always a lot of fun to do this. I want to turn this into more of a high school football exclusive block once we get maybe toward late July. We're going to have a lot to talk about. I mean, this area produced state champions, that you probably would have expected. Notre Dame, LCA, maybe some that you didn't with Eunice. It was a lot of fun last year. I think it's going to ratchet up again in 2019.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of the Blue Bloods are expecting to have big years this year. Acadiana High is going to be an absolute force, returning a whole bunch of that offense that was already dynamic last year and some of that defense. I expect big things from them this year.
Acadiana Carrancrow week one.
Yeah, that's so different, right?
Ain't no half-stepping.
No, man. I'm expecting the Golden Bears to be a lot better. They had a sophomore class last year. They had a lot of talent, a lot of leaders. That'll be a year older, and they're making that step up and doing big things as well.
I got to hit a break. Look forward to doing this again next Thursday.
Yes, sir.
That's been Blaine Viator, and we're coming back to the Taproom River Ranch. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
Oh, we'll return, all right, a couple more times. But right now we're back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room, River Ranch, on 103.7 The Game. Quickly, let me get you your latest from what's become a fairly wild extra innings affair, Stros at the Mariners. After a leadoff bloop single to short right by Alex Bregman, Astros really couldn't do anything with it. Grounded into a near double play. Bregman was forced out. Then there was a strikeout and then a flyout, if I'm not mistaken, for the third and final out. One thing I can't tell you, right now we're into the bottom of the 11th, and it's still 7-all. And it looks like they've gone to James on the mound for the Astros. So, look, they got this thing where they want it, right into their wheelhouse. In the 8th, they brought in Ryan Pressly. He let a couple guys on base, had to be rescued earlier than expected and desired by Roberto Acuña. He let in a run in the 8th. It's attributed to Pressly, but that made it 6-5. A workmanlike effort by the Mariners, scratched across one more in the 9th, and that got us to extra innings at 6-6. And even after the Astros were able to get it to 7-6 in the 10th, the M's, once again, knotted things up. So one final game out on the West Coast, and it's been a fairly lengthy trip for the Stros before they come back home. And, CD, the Baltimore Orioles this weekend, is that – am I speaking the truth there?
That is correct. It's a three-game set against the O's.
There you go. So the O's come to town, and I'm not going to tell you that they're the worst offense in baseball, but they're bottom five or six in most major statistical categories. And so I would hope that this represents an opportunity, even with Verlander having gone today. Gave a good, borderline great effort, but not vintage Verlander. Certainly was good enough to be the victor in the ball game, but the bullpen let him down. So they'll look to get back on track. In extra innings in Seattle to close this series and then coming back home for the Orioles. All right, we can take some more calls. 706-0111. Don't forget, in our last segment, we're going to bring you Under the Dome. It's a scary place, but can also be enlightening at times. Clint's going to wax poetic on the following topic. Are the Raptors now the favorites to win the 2019 NBA Finals? While we have a few more moments, I should say, in this segment, I want to talk a little more about some of what we learned today in the world of LSU athletics. And this was a bit of the split screen that we had when we started the program 2.5 hours ago. Jonathan Giles has entered the transfer portal. That report from our good friend Shay Dixon, go247.com. Yeah, I completely believe it. And I'll co-sign what Gordy Rush said on this show at 5. He's kind of surprised it didn't happen earlier. Because when you can get to 6 or 7 guys who are definitively ahead of you on the depth chart, and you only have 1 year left of eligibility, this is, see if you can follow me. Giles doing what he announced and reportedly did today, that's not a wave of the current. That is going to be a wave of like 5 or 10 years ago. A wave of the current is when you bow out when you're like a freshman and sophomore. So just a little bit of terms we had to clarify there. Jonathan Giles making kind of an old school move, right? You've only got 1 year left. I'm going to transfer out. I'll make this happen. But the newer wave is, yeah, if I'm in trouble and it's not looking good for me and I'm much younger, I'm going pecan. And we're seeing that just about everywhere. But the Tigers without Giles, I don't think it's going to hurt the return game, the receiving core very much. It might actually help the overall numbers game for Ogeron and company as they try and jam all these classes of 25 and the transfers into a final number of 85. Other news in LSU football, we discussed it with a little more length as Blaine Viator joined the program. Major Burns, 6'2", 176, and a 4-star DB prospect, class of 2020 from Madison Prep in Baton Rouge. He became LSU's 16th commitment. Corey Raymond gets the credit. And LSU beat out some heavy hitters for his services. Auburn, Florida, Miami, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, just to name a few. The other interesting tidbit that's associated with this commitment, Tigers on the verge of becoming the number 2 recruiting class in the country again. Currently, that's Clemson. LSU and Bama have been jostling back and forth for the number 2 spot. LSU has climbed as high as number 1, but if you're familiar with what Clemson's doing right now, it is out of sight, man, to borrow a term from the last generation. It is prolific. But Major Burns coming aboard certainly stands a chance to make DBU even stronger, and they continue to recruit kids who they almost know could be nickelbacks. Why is that important? Because history shows you can play nickelbacks at corner very easily and at safety without too much transition. A little more organization involved if you're putting the defense in place as a safety, but everything else is really not too different. Not really too different at all. If you got a nickelback, that's a guy who almost certainly can play both of those roles. The other thing that we mentioned at the lead of the program, good reporting job here, Sheldon Mickles with the Advocate. He caught up with Mondo Duplantis. Yesterday represented the finals of the Texas Regionals in Austin. It's an event that Mondo Duplantis competed in multiple times as a high school prep student at Lafayette High. He was there with LSU, again, resulting in yesterday's finals. And for the first time in 9 championship events, Mondo didn't finish first. He finished second. He's had a remarkable freshman season, truly elite in every measure of the word. But the reason that his name has come up today, a quote from, series of quotes, really, from Sheldon Mickles in the Advocate, Mondo Duplantis said it's going to take a couple of weeks, a couple of months, hard to give a timeline, but that there will be conversation about turning pro after his freshman season. And I told you in the lead, I'm guilty of forgetting about how that process works, or at least how it can work when we're not talking what I always refer to as the meat and potato sports, football, basketball, baseball. And we know the lay of the land there. In basketball, it's one and done, at least now. Although a lot more people are circumventing that. Earlier today, in fact, we saw a major prospect and a legacy type of player say he's going to go overseas and not go to Vanderbilt as he was originally scheduled to. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But back to Mondo. In basketball, we know it's one and done. Baseball, if you're going to show up, you got to stay 3. And in football, you got to stay 3 no matter what. And so what's interesting is that, you know, Mondo, and you can even, I think, group in other athletes on the track and field, maybe tennis players, soccer perhaps. There are so many non-sometimes revenue-generating and core sports that we don't think about that, hey, these guys don't have regulations, and if they want to go, they're going to go. So this one, for me, I found it pretty interesting. And I hope that he sticks around LSU for a little bit if that's what's good for the kid. But if he's got a chance to turn pro in whatever forms and fashions that that represents for track and field as a pole vaulter, good luck and God bless, because that kid has deserved it. His talents are prodigious. I hope he profits off of them in a timely fashion. You listen to this program long enough, you know we're big fans of Mondo here. So that was interesting news. Now, I kind of teased something before we hit a break. I teased the idea that there's a legacy that was committed to Vandy, and now he's decided he's going to skip college and go play overseas. Kenyon Martin Jr., and you bet your backside, that's Kenyon Martin, Cincinnati, New Jersey Nets. Yeah, that's his kid. He was committed to go play for Jerry Stackhouse at Vandy. Now he's going to follow the lead of R.J. Hampton, one of the top recruits in the country, who's decided he's going to do the same. So the new one-and-done deal isn't quite in place yet, or repealing the one-and-done deal. And that's leading to some dicey situations like the one I just described. So always interesting. Transferring in and out. Transfer portal. Creating free agency in college sports. Sticking around 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years, or just not coming at all. College sports are becoming more and more like pro sports by the day. And when something becomes a business, I suppose it's reasonable to expect that that aspect is never far behind. All right, we've got to take our final break in today's program. Coming right back in, Clint's going to take you under the dome. Raptors, they got a 2-1 lead. Does that make them the favorites now in these finals? We'll tell you about it on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out live at the Tap Room River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today.
Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Hey, Ben, where do you go in town for a delicious burger?
Pete's on Johnston.
How about great deals on cocktails?
Also Pete's on Johnston.
That must be convenient.
It absolutely is, especially this June, because Pete's just kicked off their new $5 cocktail list. And they're always hooking us up with happy hour 7 days a week. When I get hungry, there's the June MVP. It's the Nacho Burger, Chipotle Mayo, two Little Pete Patties, Queso, Pico de Gallo, and Crispy Tortilla Strips, only $9.50. All at Pete's on Johnston.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Locally owned businesses build strong communities by sustaining vibrant town centers and contributing to local causes. Do your business with these certified South Louisiana businesses.
For over 25 years, Acadiana has trusted Dr. Patrick McGee Eye Health Care and Quality Eyewear. We accept all insurances, including Medicaid, for both children and adults. Call 234-EYES or 984-2020.
And as Dr. Clearsight would say, y'all come see.
At Silver's Casino, the silver stays in your hands. Experience exciting gaming action right here in Brobridge. Play the newest video poker games with $1,000 payouts and the best service. Silver's Casino, north of I-10 at exit 109 in Brobridge.
This is Joel Frugier from Acadiana Prescription Shop, inviting you to experience the service and confidence of getting your prescription filled by people who know you and your healthcare needs. Our service is fast and always friendly.
Acadiana Prescription Shop, next to Champagne's in Lafayette's Oil Center.
Shop local. Shop certified South Louisiana.
You can always score big by being a member of the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse. Here's what's going on now.
Right now in the 103.7 Game Clubhouse, you've got a chance to win a $150 gift certificate to Mr. Lester Steakhouse or a $25 gift certificate to Meatless Kitchen, both located inside Cypress Bayou Casino Hotel, or a $50 gift card to Prejean's.
Win tickets, gift certificates, and more by joining the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse on 1037thegame.com or on the free mobile app.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
What a day. And it's about to come to an end, at least for the program. The fun won't stop, though, at the Taproom River Ranch, that much I promise you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. In for the final time on 103.7 The Game. So let's recap briefly. We got to help announce the commitment of Major Burns to LSU football today. Just a tremendous name on so many fronts. And great news. Local kid from Baton Rouge set to stay home in the class of 2020. We got to bring you to Baton Rouge not once but twice. We reignited the flame that is Blaine Viator sitting in and giving you his thoughts on Astros LSU baseball, and I do think more as we get closer to August, especially as we creep closer toward Labor Day weekend, we'll be a little more exclusive toward high school football in that 30-minute block. At least that's the plan. And actually, even as I say that out loud, let me walk that back. It's going to be interesting this year. I saw this a couple of weeks ago when I was starting to put my, you know, life's calendar together. We're used to college football and pro football starting a week apart, right? College game a week earlier. And that's still the case this year. But for once, high school isn't aligned with college for the LHSAA ranks. Again, I was looking at the Karen Crow schedule. By the way, Karen Crow, Acadiana, week one. Yep, sign me up. I'm there. That's going to be fantastic. But that game, if I'm not mistaken, it's whatever that Saturday is, September the 6th, I believe. Or I'm sorry, Friday, September 6th. Next day, LSU will play in Austin, September the 7th. And so you get to enjoy your college football kickoff experience, right? LSU at home, I believe Georgia Southern, UL on the road, kinda, neutral site game against Mississippi State. And you don't have to worry about the high school football that weekend. That'll be cool. But I promise we'll have a lot more of that chatter with Blaine Viator as we approach the end of summer and the beginning of high school football season. Can't come quickly enough for yours truly. All right, CD, you've been waiting all show long. Chomping at the bit, it's time to give you and the people exactly what they're looking for. It's time to take them under the dome. The topic today, I dig it. After the Raptors took a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals, are they now the favorites? Enough of me. Let's get to you.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Are the Toronto Raptors now the favorite to hoist up the Larry O'Brien Trophy when it's all said and done? The short answer to me is no, and obviously I'm not here to give you a short answer because it's not sink or swim. It's my segment. I can talk as long as I want to here. I can stretch it out, and guess what? That's exactly what I'm here to do. And I feel like the Golden State Warriors are going to be stretching things out because I feel like the Toronto Raptors have all the potential to do so. Because obviously Kawhi Leonard has been looking good. Fred VanVleet's been on point. Pascal Siakam, where has he been the last couple of games? Not necessarily as much of an impact player as he was back in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think there's one thing standing in their way that wasn't there last night in Oracle. And that's Klay Thompson. I mentioned yesterday during Sink or Swim how crucial not only Steph Curry, but also Klay Thompson has been to this team's recent success. Who would have thunk it a number of years ago, whenever both those guys got drafted, that you would have seen them be able to hoist up the Larry O'Brien Trophy so many times in recent years? Nobody saw this coming, and it is positively amazing. Throughout this playoff run, he's averaged about 20 points per game, a little less than that, but still definitely a solid performance from him all throughout the playoffs. Solid from three-point range and shooting 41% from beyond the arc. It is pretty darn good. Obviously, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from Klay Thompson. I think that's a big reason why this Warriors team is different than others, largely because of the fact that we're seeing this offense work a lot like the Golden State Warriors offense has worked in the past, and that's definitely what's caused a lot of the success in recent years. Everyone's been talking about Kevin Durant, but I feel like he's pretty much been on a milk carton, but it doesn't matter when it comes to the Warriors in winning the NBA Finals, because guess what? They did it without him, and they're showing that they can do it without him again. Right before you kind of start seeing things splinter off, because obviously you got free agency coming up, you got some guys that are definitely going to wind up looking elsewhere to try and further their careers and make their legacy their own and break out onto their own thing. Could that happen? I don't know. But what I saw in the Western Conference Finals against the Houston Rockets, sans Kevin Durant, sans Boogie Cousins, I gotta like their chances of getting things done with or without Kevin Durant, even Boogie Cousins if he gets injured again, which could be a possibility. But you may seem like the Warriors are vulnerable down 2-1, but you have to remember, this is a team that has been able to win it quite consistently, as long as you're able to have most of your big three together, because of course, everyone wants to talk about the big four, and people have hated Golden State for that, but they just seemingly forget about the fact that this organization, this group, has definitely been built upon a lot of the guys that have gotten things done offensively, and I'm talking about your Steph Currys, your Klay Thompsons, your Draymond Greens, those are your big three. But those were all homegrown talents. And I think everybody wants to hate on the Golden State Warriors largely because of the fact you got KD. But guess what? You're not having KD win you ball games in this situation. You know what you're doing? You have Klay, Steph, and Draymond doing things. I think if Klay Thompson is back in about 100%, 90, I'd say 95%, you have this team dominate the next couple games. They can wind up winning this thing in Toronto. And that'd be crazy. You got to imagine how Jurassic Park's going to be feeling after the Golden State Warriors are hoisting the Larry O'Brien Trophy. But I feel like I got to give this team a lot of respect because they've done it the right way, and they're showing why you can have a big three homegrown talents and be able to succeed in the league and not necessarily be a quote-unquote big market, because I think California is a big market, but Oakland not necessarily as big as, say, Los Angeles. And instead of me dropping the mic, I'm going to go ahead and let Draymond Green send me off in style.
You know, no one cares if guys are hurt. Everybody wants to see us lose. So I'm sure people are happy they're hurt. We just got to continue to battle. Win the next game. Go back to Toronto. Win game 5. Come back to Oracle. Win game 6. And then celebrate. Fun times ahead.
So you're leaning toward Golden State. I am firmly leaning toward Golden State. They can only get healthier from here. Suddenly there are reports that Kevin Looney may not be done for the series. We're reading where Kevin Durant is out for game 4, but I wouldn't make that assumption for Klay Thompson. In fact, I think if they try to keep Clay out of game four coming up, they might get like a pencil in the eye. I don't think you're forcing him to sit two straight games or that he'll allow that, given that guy's type of mentality. And so, yeah, I still like Golden State. Again, I've watched the ship go down before, as I told you, without realizing Titanic was happening in front of me. 0-4 Pistons over Lakers, still my best and prime example of that. No way, no how was that Pistons team with Larry Brown going to win that series against a three-time defending world champs who, you know, the offseason prior had added Karl Malone and Gary Payton. But they did, and it was a thorough butt-kicking. As dominant as Toronto looked last night, able to overcome a 45-plus point game from Steph Curry, I think a healthier Warriors team that still has plenty more chances on their home floor, I get the feeling that that championship pedigree wins out and pulls through. But there's one thing that's undeniable, CD, as we wrap up the show. What happened last night only, I think, pumps a little more juice into this 2019 NBA Finals. All right, we do have to thank our guests today. What a guest list we started with. Hunt Palmer, Gordy Rush, and Blaine Viator. Plenty of LSU baseball, LSU football, and some Astros talk as well. And the Strohs with Justin Verlander. It's great to have him back on the mound after that pummeling that they took last night in Seattle. Trust me, the Strohs at 42-21 coming into today. Oh, they're going to be just fine. Thank you very much. And do thank you for listening, for calling, and getting interactive on social media. Signing off for the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love, and you've been listening to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Enjoy your evening. We'll catch you tomorrow, starting at 4 from Rufino's on the river.